Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Alpek's fourth quarter 2015 earnings conference call. With us this morning, we have from Alpek, Jose Valdez, CEO, Eduardo Escalante, CFO, and Hernan Lozano, Head of Investor Relations, who will discuss the company's performance and answer any questions you might have. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded and will be available on the company's website, www.alpek.com. I will now hand the call over to Mr. Lozano. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome. We very much appreciate everyone's participation today. This call will be divided into two parts. First, Mr. Valdez, our CEO, and Mr. Escalante, our CFO, will provide a general overview on Alpek's 2015 performance and the outlook for 2016. Afterwards, we will open up for a Q&A session. Before we get started, let me remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. Alpek undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Jose Valdez.
Thank you, Hernan. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Last year was marked by a positive change in Alpek's performance, along with significant achievements on the project investment front and a volatile price, oil price environment. Our two business segments posted better-than-expected results, benefiting from internal initiatives and favorable industry developments. The increase in the North American PTA price formula, savings from our Cosoleacaque cogeneration plant, and lower conversion costs at our facilities all contributed to our polyester segment recovery. Meanwhile, record margins and volume from our polypropylene and expandable polystyrene businesses boosted our plastic and chemical segment. Progress related to our investment was also encouraging. Strategic project savings ramp up in 2015 and are expected to grow consistently going forward as more initiatives come online. Moreover, we completed several acquisitions. Cogeneration, EPS, and Corpus Christi are three key investments in which we achieved significant progress last year. Beginning with cogeneration, our Cosoleacaque plant completed its first full year of operations, and we began the construction of a much larger facility in Altamira, which we expect to complete in 2018. Second, our EPS business began its transformation from owning a 165,000 ton per year plant in Mexico to a 325,000 ton per year of wholly owned subsidiaries in Mexico, Brazil, Chile, and Argentina. In 2015, we successfully integrated the EPS operations acquired in North and South America, thereby increasing our capacity by almost 40% and expanding our footprint in the region. In addition, we acquired a 20,000 ton per year facility in Concon, Chile, that will be integrated in the first half of 2016, and we began a 75,000 ton expansion of our Altamira facility that is expected to start up in 2017. Third, the Corpus Christi PTA PET plant was the project with the largest share of last year CapEx. It has been more than 2 years since the site's construction began, and we have invested approximately 80% of the $350 million commitment under the original agreement. Moreover, we acquired additional supply rights, 200,000 tons per year of PET from this facility, increasing our total supply rights by 25%. We are very excited by the prospects of a larger integrated PET supply from the most modern and efficient plant in the region. This was also a meaningful year in terms of industry developments, notably the PTA capacity shutdowns in China and the PET anti-dumping case in the U.S. In China, we saw the first bankruptcy of a major PTA producer and rationalization announcements of leading PTA players. Although reference Asian margins have not improved correspondingly, we believe that these events constitute an important step in the right direction for a gradual recovery in the global polyester industry. Regarding the PET anti-dumping case, the U.S. Department of Commerce issued preliminary affirmative determinations related to its anti-dumping and countervailing duty investigations on packaging-grade PET resin. As a result, cash deposits have been required on imports from certain countries since October 2015. This development represents an important milestone for domestic PET producers in recovering market share from unfairly traded imports in the United States. Final determination from the U.S. International Trade Commission and the U.S. Department of Commerce are scheduled in the first half of 2016. In contrast, the price of crude oil was the most significant negative external factor throughout 2015. Low and volatile feedstock prices represented a headwind, causing temporary volume and margin distortions, particularly in polyester. The most notable impact was the $50 million consolidated inventory devaluation charge that we recognized last year. In contrast with the gradual oil price recovery that was expected in the second half of 2015, we faced a downward trend that continues to date and that has dragged the reference Brent price to its lowest level in more than a decade. In this context, oil and feedstock prices will likely be even lower in 2016. However, we maintain an optimistic view that as better than expected 2015 results highlight the positive underlying dynamics driving our businesses and strengthen our position to overcome this new challenge. We believe we can mitigate the impact from a lower oil price environment in 2016 based on three key elements. One, our solid balance sheet. Number two, incremental savings from strategic projects. And number three, incremental value from sustained margin improvement, particularly in polypropylene and in PTA. I have confidence in our team and in the capital allocation decisions that we're making to build upon the positive momentum of 2015. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Eduardo.
Thank you, Pepe, and good morning, everyone. Looking back, we faced a challenging outlook at the beginning of 2015 following a sharp decline in oil prices. Back then, we expected a stable volume, lower revenues, and comparable EBITDA, but higher capex from the ongoing implementation of our strategic projects. In fact, 2015 consolidated volume was flat year over year. Consolidated revenues decreased by 18% as a result of lower oil and feedstock prices. And even though capex was not as high as we had anticipated, it is one of the top three investment figures in our history. EBITDA, however, was consistently above our estimations throughout 2015, driven by better-than-expected results in both business segments. It is important to take into consideration two non-operating items when comparing 2014 and 2015 EBITDA. First, a $50 million non-cash inventory valuation charge recognized in 2015 compared to $71 million in 2014. Second, a $26 million one-time gain from the sale of our polyurethane business in 2015. Adjusting for these items, Alpek's 2015 comparable consolidated EBITDA was $654 million, 30% higher year-over-year, and 12% above our revised guidance. Fourth quarter comparable consolidated EBITDA increased 35% to $166 million. Our two business segments contributed to 2015 EBITDA growth. Adjusting for inventory valuation, comparable 2015 polyester EBITDA was up by 16% to $94 million in the fourth quarter and posted $378 million for the full year, 11% higher than in 2014. The increase to the North America PTA price formula, savings from the Cosoleacaque cogeneration facility, and plant operating efficiencies more than offset the impact from a weak oil price environment. Adjusting for inventory devaluation and the one-time gain from the sale of our polyurethane business, comparable 2015 plastics and chemicals EBITDA was up 69% to $73 million in the fourth quarter and reached $273 million for the full year, 72% above 2014. Positive dynamics combining a strong demand, lower feedstock costs, and constrained installed capacity drove higher polypropylene margins. In addition, our EPS business benefited from the successful integration of recent acquisitions, plus a temporary upswing in margins due to a disconnect with Asian feedstock prices for several months. The consolidated majority net income for 2015 totaled $175 million, up by 171% or $111 million year over year, reflecting a $194 million increase in operating income that was partially offset by higher income taxes. Moving on to the balance sheet and certain cash flow items, net debt was $722 million, up by only 1% since December 2014, as $160 million in dividends and $317 million in capex were offset by a strong free cash flow generation. Alpek's net debt to EBITDA went down to 1.1 times, and interest coverage reached 10.7 times, reflecting our better-than-expected EBITDA. Capex for 2015 was invested mainly in strategic projects, such as the Corpus Christi PTA-PET site, the EPS business acquisitions, the Huntsman monoethylene glycol tolling agreement, and two propylene storage spheres. Now, let me provide a brief status update on each of our key initiatives. The Corpus Christi PTA-PET plant is advancing as planned, and the additional supply rights were paid in full during the fourth quarter. Initial construction work in the Altamira cogeneration plant started in 2015 before year-end. The latest information from Huntsman suggests that the startup for the MEG tolling agreement will be no later than 2 months from now. Basic engineering for the 75,000 tons EPS expansion at the Altamira facility has concluded. Some major equipment has been ordered, and contractor selection process is underway. We continue to engage Pemex regarding our MEG integration project in Mexico. However, we have no new developments to report since our previous conference call. Our strategic projects, such as the polyester fiber expansion at the Pearl River site and the two propylene spheres being constructed in Altamira, are advancing as planned. Finally, I would like to share some insights on our view for 2016. The most important variable to keep in mind as you think about our guidance, is, of course, oil price. Our 2016 estimates are based on a $38 per barrel average Brent price, compared to an average of $53 per barrel 2015. In addition, we consider an exchange rate of 18 pesos per U.S. dollar and $2.50 per million BTUs average natural gas price. In this context, we expect sales to decrease by 9% year over year, as lower prices would more than offset an estimated volume growth of 5%. The 2016 comparable consolidated EBITDA is expected to be $630 million, down 4% versus the comparable 2015 figure of $654 million. The two main drivers behind this reduction are lower oil price and normalized EPS margins. In general terms, $1 movement in the annual average Brent price has an impact of approximately $3 to $3.5 million on our consolidated EBITDA. This means that the lower oil price being used for this year guidance reduces our consolidated EBITDA by about $50 million year over year. The normalization of EPS margins after 2015 temporary upswing is the other significant element pushing down our 2016 EBITDA estimate. These two negative effects are expected to be partially offset by higher PTA and polypropylene margins, along with additional savings from our strategic projects, such as the MEG tolling agreement from Huntsman. Consolidated 2016 CAPEX is expected to be at a level of $320 million, in line with the two previous years. Investment in the Altamira cogeneration plant and the announced expansions are expected to ramp up, whereas CAPEX related to the Huntsman Agreement and Corpus Christi are expected to come to an end this year. From a cash flow perspective, we anticipate using cash from operations and cash on hand to fund our 2016 investment requirements. Hence, net debt to EBITDA should rise, but is expected to remain below 2x. This concludes my remarks, and I would now like to open the call for questions. Operator, please instruct the participants on how to place their questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Nikolai Lippmann with Morgan Stanley.
Good morning, everyone. Congratulations on the number. Thanks for taking my questions here. Just a couple of questions, if I may. Could you provide a little bit of color on your investment plan? In particular, I'm thinking about the glycol and cracker investment with Pemex, if it still has the same level of priority, if it's still on the table. So that's one. And also, number two, if you could give us a sense, if you have that data, of how much the North America, so we have all these volume numbers for you, but if you could give us a sense of how much you think the North American polyester market was growing in 2015. And finally, if you could provide some, if there's some key milestones and percentage of completion for the Corpus Christi plan, especially payment milestones from you and from your partner there. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Good morning, Nicolai. Well, first of all, the EO-MEG project investment with Pemex continues to be our number one priority in terms of new acquisitions or projects. We believe that, as we've discussed before, a very strategic project for Alpe, and also it should be a very attractive financial investment. Remember that raw material prices in the North American region, particularly ethane, are very advantaged to NAFTA-based prices of ethylene. So that is still, as I say, the let's say, first priority for us. And we are somehow adjusting the scope of this project, working with Pemex to do that, mostly as a result of delays, I would say, in the availability of ethane as a result of all this reduction in crude oil prices. So we are, again, still working hard, and we hope that before the end of this first half of 2016, we should have, hopefully, a better definition. Number.
Is there stop loss? Is there, you know, so we have seen clearly a flattening of the ethylene cost curve globally. Is there a point where you sort of have a stop loss, or is there a point with regards to Pemex where, that, you know, there's been a lot of turmoil around Pemex? Is there a point there where you say, look, you know, we never got involved with this, you know, maybe, and we are not going to get involved with this?
Again, the flattening of the curve, we believe it is temporary. We don't see a situation where the crude oil prices will remain at $30 for too long. But even with crude oil prices at $30, the project still makes sense. So the issue of the flattening of the ethylene cost curve is not a problem for us. With Pemex, the issue is that capital budgeting in Pemex is tougher now, and particularly the allocation of investment is being, let's say, giving priority to oil projects as opposed to gas projects. And that's the reason why, again, the supplies of ethane have been, being postponed in the curve. But we do believe that eventually we will have also that situation solved. And we are looking for a scheme where we can start investing with them and wait a little bit until the new ethane comes on stream to make the expansion. So that is the situation with Pemex. In terms of, and let me now move to the North American polyester growth, I would say that our growth overall for Alpe was 5 to 6%, and we do believe that market growth was around 2 to 3%. It was a reasonably good year for growth of in PET. Previous years we had seen a lot of impact from increase of recycling, reduction of weight in some of the bottles that had maintained the growth of the industry, very flat. But I do believe this last year we saw a change in that trend, and we move up to, let's say, 2-3%. And we expect, PET to continue to grow at those rates in the years to come. But Nikolai, more important than that, I mean, that's the growth of the market itself. We have to remember that if the dumping duties are confirmed, there were about 400,000 tons of PET that were imported from the countries where the anti-dumping was done. So 400,000 is close to 10% of the total market. So we assume that some of those 400,000 we will be able to recover for domestic suppliers. So that could be an additional source of growth in 2016. In terms of the Corpus Christi milestones, we as we mentioned during the presentation, we have already paid 80% of the original deal. We believe that we as Alpec are not including in our numbers startup of this plant this year. We believe the startup of the plant will be early next year. In first quarter 2017. That's our latest information. Perhaps, you know, part of the plant, as you have probably heard, could start second or third quarter this year. But you know, the significant impact, I think, will be until 2017. Once you start, you have to go for qualification of products and things like that. So it's not, it should not be a big impact for our numbers this year.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
And our next question comes from Diego Mendez from Itaú.
Yes, guys, good morning. So I have two questions as well. The first one is regarding your guidance, and if it considers, apparently it doesn't, but just to confirm that it does not consider a potential positive news on the antitrust and the countervailing duties on the PET in the U.S., so this could be an upside. And second, understand what is the rationale behind the propylene and the polypropylene spreads that you are working for 2016, because you have seen this number improving significantly over the last year, and apparently the outlook is positive as well. But when we consider the difference of the price in the U.S. For polypropylene and Asia, there's a big gap. So if this big gap could close a little bit and reduce prices in North America. So that are the questions. Thank you.
Okay. Let me perhaps start with your second question. We do believe that the biggest upside for our numbers in 2016 is the polypropylene margin. Polypropylene margin, what we are assuming in our budget, is the margin that we had at the end of the year. We are assuming it's the same number as how we ended in 2015. If you read what the experts are saying, they do believe that there's going to be an additional increase in the margins this year, 2016. We are not assuming that. As I said, we are assuming we maintain the margin at the end of last year, and perhaps for some of the reasons you mentioned, you know, there might be threats of imports from other, you know, countries increasing, and I guess we are being conservative in assuming that the margins will remain where they were, let's say, in November, December last year. There is an important upside there. In terms of the dumping and countervailing duties, we have assumed that the duties and dumping and countervailing will be confirmed in April this year. We are assuming that this will be confirmed, and to a certain extent, we have already included those numbers in our budget. So we do not expect a significant upside from that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And next, we have Vincent Neto with Bank of America.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Jose Eduardo Hernan. I had basically two questions. First of all, how worried is Alpek with the outlook for weaker demand in China? In your view, could the PET and PTA spreads in China dip once again? Or in your view, you know, the industry there is already operating within its limits of costs? And my second question regards to M&A. Petrobras is potentially thinking about selling its stake in Petrobras in Argentina, right? Of course, Alpek wouldn't be interested, you know, in buying the whole company because of the upstream and refining assets. But if an eventual buyer ends up selling the petrochemical plants to fund for the acquisition, would Alpek be interested in looking at this potential asset The plant there basically sells polystyrene, estuarine, and PP and propylene. Do you think, in your view, that there will be eventual synergies with your plant in Argentina? Thank you.
Let me start with Chinese question. I mean, we are certainly very concerned about China, but believe it or not, not because of the margins of PTA and PET, because of the broader implications of, hard landing in China. We do believe that will have create significant financial issues in a lot of the emerging economies, exchange rates and some other things. So we are following that very closely. We do not believe, to be honest, that the margins of PET, PTA in China can go down, much more. In many cases, I mean, we're assuming, and we are assuming in the budget that the margins in China remain where they have been in 2015, which is around the $200 of margin between PET and paraxylene and glycol. We are at a point where if those margins go lower, you go below variable cost. And I think quite the opposite. If there is a problem in financial issue in China, I think a lot of these companies are going to be forced to rationalize, to start burning cash, to stop burning cash, because a lot of these, as I say, are certainly selling below cash cost. So I don't see that as a particular threat. The margins going lower, as I said, the broader implications of hard landing in China. Yeah, of course we're worried about that, as I think a lot of people should be, but not in particular, for our polyester margins. In fact, that a financial situation in China might even accelerate the efforts to rationalize the industry in that part of the world. There have been some efforts, or there are some efforts on the way right now in Korea. By the government. The government is trying to convince the PTA players to cut their output by 30% this year, as opposed to last year. As a result of the fact that, these people are not making any money. So I believe that, it's not a specific threat to our business in terms of the margins. But it would certainly be, an impact that, that we have to work hard to minimize negative implications for us. In terms of Petrobras Argentina, we have been looking at that, but at the time, the asset is being sold 100%, including the upstream and the power and the infrastructure portion, so they're not selling separately the chemical plants. And, given that, what we are doing, we're waiting to see who is the eventual buyer of those assets. And I guess once the buyer emerges, we might have some discussions with them to see if there is an opportunity for us. Having said that, I will tell you right away that, as you know, for us in Alpek, if we cannot buy assets with very competitive costs, we normally do not buy them. The volatility of this industry is such that if you don't buy the lowest cost assets, you might spend 3 out of 5 years, not making money. To make sure you make always a consistent or constant or a positive return, you have to be the low cost, and we don't have enough information at this stage to determine whether that would be the case for those assets. But based on the scale alone, that would be a concern. These assets are very small, and again, we might be proven wrong if the assets can produce styrene, and particularly the interest would be styrene, which is the raw material for us for the EPS. But if we see that the potential for those plants to be low cost, then we will be interested. Otherwise, we will probably not participate.
Fantastic. Perfect. Very clear. Thank you.
And our next question comes from Gilberto Garcia with Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I was wondering if you could give us a sense of what the breakdown is in your guidance for EBITDA and volume growth. Thank you.
Okay, I will ask Alberto, Eduardo, to help us with that.
Yeah, the guidance has an increase of 5% in terms of volume, overall volume. Out of that, we expect a little bit higher volume growth in polyester than in plastics and chemicals. But overall it's a 5% increase. In terms of sales, we do expect lower revenues, about 9%. Coming mainly from lower prices because of the oil price decline and lower feedstock costs.
And regarding EBITDA?
EBITDA, as we mentioned, we expect $630 million versus for 2015, the comparable figure is $654 million when you include the $50 million inventory devaluation charge and the $26 million one-time profit from the sale of the polyurethane business. So we are expecting a decline in terms of EBITDA versus the comparable 2015 of about 3%. The main reasons for this decline are oil price, which as I mentioned before, has an impact of about $50 million. When you take into consideration that we are expecting a $38 per barrel Brent price for average for 2016, and also we do expect to have lower margins for EPS for 2016, since we had some extraordinary months because of the disconnect between Asian feedstock prices and North America prices during 2015. Positive elements that help partially offset these negative reasons are the startup of the Huntsman MEG tolling agreement, in addition to increased margins in polypropylene, which they had a significant increase over the year in 2015, and we do expect to have a better year in 2016, and also the PTA formula, which the increase was applied last year at the beginning of the second quarter, we are going to have a full year in 2016. So all in all, the decrease is expected to be about 3% from the comparable EBITDA 2015.
One addition to what Eduardo was saying that is not included in the guidance is apart from the polypropylene margins, we do see a potential of an important increase in polypropylene volume as well. And that is not, there is some volume in improvement in the guidance or in the budget, but we believe there's an opportunity to increase further than that, the volume. When you have higher margins that we are assuming, then perhaps we could also import additional propylene and utilize our capacity, our polypropylene capacity, to a greater extent. Remember, our plan is 650,000 tons, and we are operating at perhaps around the 500,000, 510,000 tons. So there is also some room to improve margins in polypropylene. So polypropylene, again, biggest upside, because I see that's what you want to get at. I mean, the biggest upsides for this year will be improved margins versus our assumption, and also improved volumes. So there is potential from both sides, the margin and the volume of polypropylene. And again, I would say those are the, you know, perhaps most important opportunities for us this year.
Okay, thank you very much.
And as a reminder, that's star one on your telephone keypad to signal for questions. And next we'll hear from Pedro Medeiros.
Okay, good morning, guys. Thank you so much for taking the question, and congratulations for the results. I have a couple of questions. The first one is actually a follow-up to your comment just now, Pepe. Would you mind to provide any rough estimate on how much more volumes could you add to the utilization rate of your polypropylene plants through those initiatives in 2016?
Well, I believe, you know, we are requesting our polypropylene guys to increase by 100,000 tons, but perhaps I believe a more realistic figure would be probably 50,000 tons, which would be like 10% of volume versus what we're considering.
Okay.
So it's, I mean, it's an important number.
Okay, perfect. And the other questions I have are more of like a quick confirmation on the guidance and on the fourth quarter results. So the first one is we have observed that in the quarter, both caprolactam and benzene spreads have dropped quite significantly, and apparently they continue to drop in the first quarter. Do you mind sharing a comment on how did that impact the results on the quarter, and if you have any objective bigger on if that was not the case, how much more of EBITDA would you be able to generate in the quarter?
Look, caprolactam business has been very neutral all of last year, and in particularly last quarter it was negative because again of inventories, costs coming down, inventory reductions. And because Pemex declared a force majeure in ammonia, which has not been yet lifted. So the fourth quarter was particularly difficult. We had a minus, a negative EBITDA. The budget for this year is a slightly positive number. And we are assuming, again, that the force majeure from Pemex will be resolved. But we are estimating that the margins in Asia will remain weak. Again, as was the case with polyester, we don't see any improvement from where the margins were at the end of the year. The margins of caprolactam were good first half of 2015, but during the second half they've been very bad, and we see that continuing. So again, the EBITDA for the whole year of caprolactam is slightly positive number.
Okay.
So
it
almost has no impact in the results.
Okay, perfect. And third question is an additional follow up to the guidance. We spoke a bit about what's underneath your guidance in terms of spread, but do you mind sharing what's the company view towards feedstock cost? And really what I'm trying to understand is how you're seeing the potential free cash flow in 2016 when we include working capital change for the year on top of your CapEx.
Well, I will say that the net working capital, we are as we consider oil prices to be low, that normally comes with working capital coming down. So we are expecting, let's say, a small increase in working capital. Okay, a small increase
okay.
in working capital. The EBITDA, you know, I think the most important factor, of course, is CapEx. And which, as you mentioned, and as you heard, is more than $300, $320. So that's the most important factor. Net working capital, we should again, should not be a very important issue next year or this year. And the other big issue for us is that during 2015, our taxes, income taxes, were very low. You know, we have some loss carry forward and things like that. So we're going to have an increase in taxes, and that is probably going to be the biggest change versus last year. EBITDA is similar, net working capital about same, CapEx about same, but financial expenses about same. So again, the biggest issue, dividends about the same. The biggest issue is the biggest change is going to be in terms of the taxes.
Okay. Thank you. That's very, very good caller. And just one last question is a follow up to Diego's question on Petrobras divestitures. Would you mind commenting any interest on their PTA facility, a polyester facility in Brazil, which is also supposedly slated for sale on the Petrobras divestiture plan?
Well, the only comment I could, say today is that we are certainly looking at that asset. That asset makes strategic sense to us. And again, the answer to your question of whether this would be of interest to us or not, again, it has to do with what I mentioned about cost. We want to understand that if we were to participate in this asset, we can convert this asset into a world-class facility in terms of cost. And that is going to drive our interest in let's say, in trying to present an offer or not. Okay.
No, very good. Thank you so much, and congratulations for the results again.
You're welcome.
And next we'll hear from Till Mose with Schroeder.
Hello, thanks for taking my question. It's about long-term CapEx and projects. First of all, where do you expect maintenance CapEx to be once the Altamira project is completed? What kind of, what is your long-term CapEx figure?
Are you asking maintenance CapEx?
Maintenance CapEx once you're through with your current project pipeline.
Well, again, you know, our maintenance CapEx have been around the $50, $60 million for many years, and I don't think those are going to be significantly changed.
Okay.
Most of our CapEx is related to strategic projects. What I can say about that at the time, we do have some organic growth projects that we've discussed with you. Of course, Altamira being, let's say, looking forward, Altamira is the most important because Corpus, we already covered most of it, but Altamira will be very large. And I guess CapEx in the coming years, will have to be mostly in acquisitions and M&A type of opportunities. We don't see our CapEx in 17 or after that being significantly higher than what we are experiencing the last 2-3 years, other than M&A.
Okay. And are there any changes to the individual CapEx estimates and EBITDA contributions that you published for your projects? Let's say you have something for like $350 million CapEx for Altamira and $90 million annual EBITDA contribution. Are there any changes to that table?
No.
Okay, great.
That's pretty much where we are now.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And next we'll hear from Jose Vasquez with Grupo Bursátil Mexicano.
Hi, my question has been answered. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question will come from Adán Rodríguez with Grupo Bursátil Mexicano.
Good morning. My question is related to SG&A costs. During this latest quarter, we saw a substantial increase when compared to the previous quarter to the same quarter in the previous year. And I just wanted to see if you could give us a little bit more context on why this increase happened. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Adam, for your question. There are two reasons for that. The first one is we incorporated during 2015 the new EPS plants in South America, one in Chile, one in Argentina, one in Brazil. The plants that we acquired from BASF in April of 2015. That is one reason. The other reason is in the last quarter of 2015, we had a $7 million effect, a one-time effect of an asset impairment coming from the closure of the K-Fear shutdown, the plant that we closed a few years ago. I would say those are the main reasons. Other than that, operating expenses have been pretty much stable.
Okay, thank you. And just a follow-up question. You talked about the EPS plans. Do you see this cost trending down in the coming quarters?
Yeah, they should decrease a little bit because we had some startup costs for those plants. So I would say out of the increase from the EPS plants, about half should come down in 2016, and half will remain as a normal operating expense.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good day.
And we have no further questions. I'll turn the call back over to Mr. Lozano.
Thank you. I would just like to thank everyone for participating in today's call, and please feel free to contact us if you have any follow-up questions or comments. Have a nice day.
And that concludes today's conference call. We appreciate your participation.